If you become bedridden, bedbound due to the symptoms of a chronic illness, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And it's really overwhelming and difficult. And from that place, it's really hard to start. But there are some things that you can do to immediately improve your situation. And one of the first things that can help you, I think, is knowledge, understanding what's actually going on. And I've been bedridden myself for long periods of times. And every time when I didn't really know what to do and I crashed again, I became bedridden. But over time, every time when I was bedridden, I managed to recover faster. And by now I've helped hundreds of people recover from a bedridden state. And therefore I'd like to help you. First of all, what you're doing when you're bedridden is that you're listening to the symptoms. And that might sound good. You might think that you're listening to your body, but in reality, you're actually not. Because the symptoms are basically a distraction mechanism to put your attention away from your body. So you're not listening to your body. Let's make that clear. I know these symptoms are very extreme and they do whatever they can to catch your attention and to make you obsess about it. And because they are so overwhelming, there is no other place for you to be than in your bed because it all feels too much. So it's completely logical that you end up in bed because you feel like you can't really do anything else. So let's make that clear. So you might think if listening to the symptoms is not good, then there are probably only one option left, and that is to push through. So it's either listening to your body symptoms or pushing through. And neither of these choices are actually helpful. It doesn't work. So we need to find a different way of dealing with this. And the first step that you can do is gentle movement. Very, very, very gentle. Like a little bit of movement, you know, move your arms and legs slowly. Not in a way to push yourself or to reach a goal or something like that. It is about showing you, your body, your brain, that you no longer need to be in the freeze response. The symptoms that you're having, they are part of the freeze response of the autonomic nervous system. And when you're in bed, completely still, maybe distracted with the mobile, staring at it, you're enhancing that. And gentle movement can actually make you feel better. So when I had crashes, it took me 1 or 2 or 3 years to figure this out. You know, I woke up usually in the mornings with a crash. And of course, it was very hard to stand up at that point. But after a while, let's say after 2 hours, I managed to get out. And from that place, it was really helpful to do tiny tiny walks, to go in a really gentle pace, moving myself. And after just like 50 minutes or something, I noticed that I was feeling better. I mean, not good, but better. And then I could sit outside, maybe in the garden or maybe on a park bench. And that was giving my system, you know, like a message of safety. So then the second step that you should do is maybe while you're still in bed, stress reducing habits. The freeze response is part of an overwhelming amount of stress that is stuck in your nervous system. Now, you don't need to resolve the big stressor there, but you can already avoid small unnecessary stressors. And one of these stressors is, for example, to scroll endlessly, maybe even doom scrolling on your phone. You'll notice over time that that will increase your heart rate, and that will then increase the amount of stress on your nervous system. So that's not helpful. But also, what's really important is to make sure that you have a good rhythm. If you wake up one day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the next day at 6 o'clock in the morning, your rhythm is all over the place. But when you have a good solid rhythm, your adrenals sort of know when to make hormones and they can become much more efficient. And then when you wake up in the morning, when it's still hard, you at least go in a seated position. So you no longer fall asleep. So you make sure that you care about your rhythm. A thing that you can do from there is to inform yourself with the mind-body theory. Now, a chronic illness involves a lot of different symptoms, but the most overwhelming kind of symptom are the so-called mind-body symptoms. These are symptoms that the limbic system of the brain creates into like a cascade of all kinds of reactions to make you go to bed, to make you lie still in bed, because according to your brain, there is an overwhelming amount of danger. Now, you can read books about this, but the thing is, they don't really go that deep in the books. So what you should know about this, and for example, this is some extra knowledge after you, for example, read up about Dr. Sarno, is, Dr. Sarno discovered this mechanism, is that these symptoms are everywhere but on the line of breathing. So they are not here and they are not there because that's where you process your emotions. So Dr. Sarno stated that these symptoms are basically distraction mechanisms. So you can find them everywhere but here. So for example, in your head, vertigo is there, fatigue, headaches, visual blur, all kinds of stuff. And then you can find them in your arms, in your back, maybe in the form of back pain, in your legs with weak muscles, etc. So these symptoms are there to distract you. They distract you because of a protection mechanism. And the thing is, what we have shown in maybe thousands of different cases is that as soon as you remove the danger, the brain no longer produces these symptoms. And that's why they can be switched on and off. Now, I know that sounds very easy and simple, but it actually requires some effort and some work. When you are overly focused on your symptoms, you get stuck in a symptom loop. And that means that because of the symptoms, you don't work. You lie in bed, you focus on your symptoms, you wait for them to improve, which will only make it worse. And these symptoms, they frighten you. What happens then is that there is more fear in your system, and that means that your brain perceives more danger, meaning more symptoms. So most people, they end up being bedridden because of this mechanism. It's the symptom loop. And you might think, I don't have emotions. I don't feel emotions. I'm not having a lot of fear. I'm not having a lot of anger. This is the most common question that I get. Well, and that's exactly why it works. You think that you don't have it because these emotions are stuck in your unconscious mind. They are about to become conscious. And at that moment, the brain perceives it as a danger and it tries whatever it can to make sure that you don't dive in and that you stay distracted. Because according to your brain, these underlying emotions that you have stored in your body are terrible. And the only alternative for you is something less terrible, which is your symptoms. Unfortunately, however, these symptoms are destroying your life. Every once in a while, people get, for example, a migraine attack. And in those moments, it might work. But when you're having a chronic illness, it has gotten too extreme. And this needs to stop. This also means that there is actually nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your body. Everything is working the way it was supposed to work. This is very good news because most people, they enhance the symptom loop because of fear or thoughts that there is something wrong with them. And since this is not the case, since actually something is going very right, you no longer need to worry about this. But I think that your brain will probably do whatever it can for you to diminish my theory. And the results that I have and all the videos that I have about people switching their symptoms on and off. Because there is a resistance. You know, these symptoms are part of the resistance mechanism in your body that resists your own stress, your own truth, your own emotions. And if, I mean, if your brain creates these symptoms, it can also create thoughts. And if you still believe that you are these thoughts, that these thoughts are valid, then it will do whatever it can to avoid you from doing the work that I mentioned, that I'll going to mention in the video. So in order to do the work, you need to do the release work. But you can't do that. So step number four is preparation work. And I mean, you can't do that, because if you would engage on that right now, I think that most likely you will develop panic attacks. Your symptoms will even increase. It's like your brain doing whatever it can to stop you from doing this. But since it's perceiving these emotions, such as fear about the symptoms, as a danger, what if we can actually program you that these emotions are safe, that it is okay? So a big part of the release program is preparation work. Part of that is, for example, the stress-reducing habits, but also telling your brain that these symptoms are okay, but also telling your brain that emotions are okay. And you do that by slightly exposing yourself towards the idea of having an emotion, and then combine that with something good, something soothing. And over time, your brain will no longer perceive these emotions as that dangerous. That means that you will become aware of it. Because focusing on the possible idea of having an emotion will also make sure that you're sort of like get it out of your unconscious mind, bringing it into the conscious mind. At that moment, people will usually freak out because they think they want to heal, but now all of a sudden they are overwhelmed with emotions. It's good to know that you were already overwhelmed with emotions. That's why you have the symptoms, these extreme symptoms, because your brain is perceiving them as a danger and protects you from it. In the description below, I put a link to an old video that I made about making these emotions safe, about doing the preparation work. And after a while, you become ready to release. And we have in the release program many different methods to release these unconscious emotions, or when they're becoming conscious, how to find them in your body, all kinds of tools such as breath work, which is for most people already too extreme in the beginning. So they need gentler tools in the beginning. Otherwise, they might freak out and develop all kinds of crazy, weird symptoms like panic attacks. For example, tapping. But also like later on, inner child work. And when people are no longer bedridden, meaning they're housebound, for example, or they can do some gentle activities, we recommend to start only from that place with the releases. And the stress-reducing habits should be able to make you get you out of bed. But then the real work starts, and then you can do the releases. And then after a release, you might feel better or not. If you have a partial release, the symptoms might temporarily increase, and then you might still go into that automatic habit of going to bed, which is in the beginning understandable. But with ups and downs, you'll be able to release more and more of these emotions. So the video here will help you with the preparation work. And know as well that this is reversible. It might seem very tough, but it's easier than you think, and you can get out of this.